The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and as a pretext recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury, for they have all contributed from their surplus wealth. But she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I was in seminary studying to be a priest for 7.5 years, and I took 1.5 years off in between to go back to working. And in the course of my time in seminary, taken as a whole, the seminarians received one cost of living adjustment in almost a decade. And they went from living on $250 a month to living on $275 a month. We were finally making it at $275. Brothers and sisters, as a seminarian, they have a lot provided for them, though: an education, a place to live, food, so many things provided to seminarians. And if you were a guy entering seminary out of high school or maybe fresh out of college, you didn't have a lot of debts. You didn't have a lot of expenses. You didn't have a lot of bills. And so $275 a month might not be that bad. If you were a guy who entered seminary from the working world, you had some bills. You had some loans. You were on for some things, and $275 doesn't go very far in that case. But fortunately, the people of God are very generous. The Knights of Columbus are very generous, especially here at St. Louis de Montfort. So seminarians didn't really want for money. But it's important for us as seminarians to consider, how do we interact with money? Because a temptation for priests and a temptation for seminarians can be to live like bachelors. In some way, the first part of the gospel. Because they don't have people providing to provide for. They don't have the same demands made on their financial wealth. They're not providing for a family. They have great job security. They have so much provided for them. So it can be easy for seminarians and priests to live like bachelors, to live like uncommitted men who, once they're done with their ministry and they're back at the rectory, back at the seminary outside classes, do what they want. And it can be a temptation. And some priests have lived that way, and some seminarians have lived that way. Because at $275 a month, you really feel like you don't have a lot to give. And I'm giving my life to the church, so isn't that enough? I challenged some of my brother seminarians when I was a deacon, though. For as little as we seem to make, if you looked around our seminary community, there were some men who had higher quality bars than private residences I've been in on $275 a month. Not that they had a drinking problem and they would share it with the community, but the quality was better than many of our working parishioners could afford. Some guys had cigar collections. Some guys collected art or books. Some guys, it was just that they frequently would go out to eat, which is a luxury, and we had meals provided for us for free. And so my challenge to them all was, even if we live on $275 a month and you feel like you don't have a lot to give, to tithe to the seminary, to tithe to your home parish, to give to charity, what happens when you actually look at how you're spending the money that the people of God are giving you? And we're not bachelors. Priests are committed men. They're committed to the church. They're committed to the people of God. And in seminary, we needed to learn that. And so even on $275 a month, I challenge the brothers, we should be tithing. and we should be giving because we are committed. And so just as you all save to put your kids through school, save to get your kids through college, save in your life to provide in your own retirement, but also to leave your kids an inheritance, the demands that are placed upon you financially, those are things that we inherently don't have in the same way, but we should mirror in some way. Priests should be giving money to their parish. They should be giving money to charity. Priests should be saving for retirement so they're not a burden on the church, but also so that one day they can give generously an inheritance to the church, to take some parish they've been assigned to in the course of their priesthood that was financially struggling, and actually to leave that parish a gift to help them keep spreading the faith. Priests should live too as committed men, even in how we marshal our financial resources. And there were some beautiful witnesses in the seminary. The rector of our seminary, if he ever went to give a talk and was given a check for a speaking fee, he would donate that to charity. There was one priest, a young priest, if he ever bought a beautiful vestment, which can cost hundreds or thousands of dollars, he would take the exact same amount he spent on that vestment and he would give it to charity because he would serve God at the altar and then serve God in the poor. We had some of the brothers at the seminary who would pool their own money to buy toothpaste, toothbrushes, granola bars, and socks, put them in plastic bags, give them to the community so that as we drove around St. Louis, we would have something to give to the poor. And it cost us nothing because those brothers paid for it. Many beautiful witnesses for us to live as committed men. I know one priest, he saves money so that if he has a couple in marriage prep that are cohabitating and they say we can't afford to live separately and chastely until our wedding, he offers from his own money to pay for them to live apart for a few months so that they can give themselves fully to their engagement and to their wedding. It's a beautiful gift that priests live, and we have to examine ourselves so that we don't live as bachelors. Brothers and sisters, it's taboo to talk about money. Some people would rather talk about politics, they'd rather talk about religion, they'd rather talk about sex. And why is that? Because money is intimate. Money says something about our hearts. Money says something about who we are. How we spend our money on joys, on luxuries, on comforts says something about what we prize, something about what we think we deserve. When we keep money as a safety net, and we all should have an emergency fund, but when we hold on too much, in some way, it's where do we place our trust? And many people have the conception, as long as I have money in the bank, nothing truly bad can happen to me. Until suddenly we find ourselves in a circumstance where money actually isn't the answer and actually only takes us so far. Money tells us something about what do I prize? And where is my center of gravity? Is it on this earth or is it in heaven? Money says something about who you value and what you value and what you believe in and who's worthy of you or whether or not others are worthy of you because your money goes to yourself. We don't like to talk about money because it's intimate. If you look at your credit card, if you look at your bank account, in some way someone could look at that and say something about who you are. And we should look at it and ask, am I who I thought I was? Based on where I put my money, based on where I put my time. It's the beauty of our readings this weekend. There are two widows of heroic faith. And in our first reading, Elijah kind of seems like a jerk because she says, I've just got enough to make a little bit of bread for myself and my son, and then we're going to die from starvation. And Elijah has the nerve to say, before you do that, bake me a little cake. What he's really inviting her to and what he's inviting us to is another perspective. Humanly, you and I fall into the temptation of self-reliance, to hold on, to provide for myself, because I'm not sure if I let go that someone else will provide for me, especially God. And the weaker our relationship with God is, the more we will provide for ourselves, latch on for ourselves. And so Elijah is inviting this widow See your life from a different perspective. Trust in God in a deeper way. And he shows up for her. And what about the widow in the gospel? She gives 2 coins. To be a widow in Jerusalem at that time is an especially precarious situation. And if this widow gives 2 coins, she is probably giving money to support people who are better off than she is. But she gives because she sees from a different perspective. So brothers and sisters, money is intimate. And that's why we don't like to talk about it. And that's often why we don't examine it as honestly as we should, because it does say something about who we are. And sometimes we're worried that if we look at that, who we are by our actions might not be who we have believed ourselves to be in our minds. But we should rise to that challenge. And we should take the gospel seriously, which is a call to detachment, which is a call to heroic giving, which is a call to put yourself on the line for others as Jesus Christ put himself on the line for us. And that should be a beautiful challenge for all of us. There's one priest that breaks it down. 5-4-1. You should donate 5% of your tithe, which should be 10%. You should donate 5% of that to your local parish. Where is it that you call home? Because you should belong to a parish, a people, a place where you will bear your heart, where you will be known, where you will know the people around you, and where you all together are not just random people who happen to live in Fishers and come to St. Louis de Montfort because it's close. You're here because God wants you to be here. And you're here because he wants to do something in your life and through you here at this place. And we give 5% because I'm in on the mission and I'm in on this family. And then he says you should give 4% to a charity or charities of your choice, because all of you have things that are dear to your hearts, things that you care about. You've had some life experiences where you had a certain need, your family had a certain need or disadvantage, and somehow you got through it. And you want to gift other people that are still in the struggles. Sometimes you have a passion and you want to help others catch on fire for it. Sometimes you've been part of a community and you want to give back to it. Sometimes we have couples who have struggled with fertility, or you've known someone who struggled with fertility, and adoption is such an excessively expensive process. So maybe you want to give to a charity that helps couples adopt. For me, there's some beautiful hiking in northern Indiana that I was privileged to benefit from in my time in seminary. So last year, my gift was to a land trust that I'd enjoyed hiking in. This year, I think I'm going to donate to the Miami County Circus, an amateur youth circus that carries on Indiana's circus heritage and provides kids in a community a unique opportunity. For me, it's nature, it's history, it's the poor. All of you have things dear to your heart. And we don't just receive, we're meant to give. 5% to your parish family, 4% to those charities that are dear to your heart, which often speak about what you've been through or what you value. And then 1% to the diocese, because the diocese provides so much for us. The diocese provides education for our seminarians so that we can have priests. Our diocese, in its love for those who have struggled through the difficult pain of divorce, the annulment process is free. Because people give to our diocese, and we want to help people heal and have a new chance at life. Brothers and sisters, we were all meant to give self-sacrificially. And maybe for some of us, maybe a challenging spot to start would be in the past year, because we're drawing close to Advent, we're drawing close to Christmas. It's another time of giving. In the past year, what's a vacation you've gone on? What's a luxury you've bought for yourself? How much money have you spent on Colts games or anything else like that? What are some things that were definitely not necessities in your life, but you splurged on, which is not bad because God loves you and wants you to have some joys, but what were some extras in your life? And can you calculate up how much money you spent on that and then give an equal amount to a charity? And for some of you, that might sound outrageous. For some of you, that might be a painful prospect. For some of you, you might say, Father, that's too much. But it wasn't too much for you. So brothers and sisters, we are called to live heroically, to live self-givingly, to put ourselves on the line. And so money is intimate because it says something about who you are. And we should all be willing to look at, am I who I thought I was? And if not, do I really desire to be more? And if so, make a beautiful gift of yourself. One of the most beautiful Easter penances I saw, I was at a church in a school in Grant County, the county in Indiana at the time that had the largest rate of childhood poverty in the state of Indiana. And many of our families were incredibly poor. One day, a well-to-do grandmother came into the school and she came to the front desk and she asked how much money was owed for school milk, because many families could not afford the milk bill at school. And she, as part of her Lenten giving, paid off the milk bill for the whole school. There are so many creative, beautiful, powerful, small but meaningful ways to give of ourselves. So brothers and sisters, we weren't made for comfort. We were made for greatness. And this world is waiting for you and me to live more heroically. And we have the power to do it.